إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, final reminder on this subject of de-addiction from our cell phones. And it is de-addiction because there's actually a complete today a medical practice which is established in the name of what is called screen addiction, which refers to cell phones, iPads, any kind of tablets, where people are actually addicted to them. Now, if you say, I'm sure what I'm saying is not news, if you've been reading anything about this at all, but just to reiterate, the drug is called dopamine. It gets created in the brain, which is a very highly addictive drug, thanks to the instant feedback we get from social media, from WhatsApp and so on, where you send a message, instantly you get a reply. And this produces an addiction which draws you closer and closer to that phone, to that screen. And you can't let it go. It is extremely powerful, and it literally bends the mind. It literally influences our thinking. It influences our attitudes. It produces depression. This is one of the major causes of depression, which is when you get deprived of dopamine, and it creates this sense of enormous anxiety inside you, where you feel that somehow you are being, you're missing out something, and so on. So it's a you can read it all up on the net, not on your iPad or smartphone, but read up on a regular computer. For some funny reason, regular computers are not so addictive, but these things are extremely addictive. So dopamine addiction is a major problem. And people have people go into depression. Many suicides have been reported thanks to this addiction. This is what screens produce. This is what mobile phones produce. This is what iPads and tablets produce. So when we are talking about getting off this, you're really talking about de-addiction. And believe me, it is important to treat this seriously because it is a very serious matter. Religiously speaking, this is one of the major problems that may Allah protect us, we might face, because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us, what did you do with the time that I gave you, what are you going to say? And I spend that time staring at a phone, staring at a tablet. Really seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question and say, what are we doing with the time that Allah gave us? Second problem is the rays that emanate from the screens, which constantly bombard our eyes. They cause dryness of the eyes, they cause headaches, they cause migraines, they cause all kinds of other problems. They cause serious disruptions of sleeping patterns. They create insomnia, especially if you are looking at screens until 1 hour before your bedtime. That time before you actually go to sleep. So if you say you sleep at 11 o'clock, 11 p.m., if you are looking at a screen any time after 10 p.m., then you are playing games with your sleep, and your sleep will be disturbed. You might end up with insomnia. So it disrupts sleeping patterns as well. Third major problem that happens is what is called a tech neck. There is a short video that is attached with this. Take a look at it. Seems kind of paradoxical. I'm telling you not to watch videos and I'm sending you videos, but what to do? I mean, I'm trying to get you as much information as I can. Tech neck is a situation that's produced because of the way we hold the phone and we look at it. The head is very heavy, if you think about it. The actual weight of the head is quite heavy. And this, when it is held at this very odd angle, when we are looking at our phones, produces a tremendous strain on the spinal column, and that produces tension in the shoulders and the neck, and causes all kinds of medical problems, which is, and there's a term again for it called tech neck, which is what happens thanks to holding the phones. Now you might say, well, you know, I mean, I hold the phone, how long does it, how long, for how many minutes? It's not a question of minutes. If you look at it in terms of hours, we hold our phones and we look at our phones very often. As I said yesterday, one study says that that people check their phones every 3 seconds. Now you add that up, it adds up to an enormous amount of time that we are actually holding our neck in that position, which produces those terrible stresses in the muscles as well as on the spine. Fourth thing is the attention deficit. The short attention spans, not attention deficit, the short attention span that happens thanks to these technologies, where we cannot seem to sit with an issue and reflect on it and think about it for the time that is required for it. We need constant excitement, constant stimuli to keep us alive. Now that is also thanks to this, because that is what the whole theory of social media is based on, that is to continuously keep on exciting you, continuously keep on giving you stimuli to keep you addicted to a particular site or keep you addicted to something. If you see, for example, YouTube, they have a new feature now where while you are watching one video, on the side there are previews of many other videos, and if you take your cursor on the preview, the thing actually plays for a few seconds to make it more attractive and more likely that you will click on it and open it. As you know and I know, the logarithms that are created by Facebook and so on, I mean, there's a big scandal recently, all of us know about that. These are deliberately created based on what you like, both in terms of any likes that you express, any approval that you express, as well as the time that you spend on a different site. These algorithms actually they condition your mind in a particular way, and they attempt to influence your thinking to take certain decisions, to support certain things, certain issues, to think a certain way about some things. Islamophobia is one of the major things that is sought to be promoted using algorithms to create, you know, to expose you to sites and expose you to so-called news which supports Islamophobia. Many other things, of course, shopping is a major one, where they attempt to make you shop more for certain things and so on and so forth. So there is this social engineering that is happening constantly, which is attempting to influence you to do things a certain way, which makes money for the people who are doing those social engineering projects. So there's a huge, and then of course finally, or rather, not finally, but one of the most serious ones, is the disruption of attention, especially while driving, which results in serious accidents, which might result in your own death or maiming or you know, somehow seriously injuring yourself. But what is even more tragic is it might end up in killing or maiming somebody else who really had nothing to do with you whatsoever. I mean, some innocent person who died or who was permanently disabled for their life because you were texting or you were looking at a WhatsApp video while you were driving. The statistics which show that even if you are speaking on the phone on speakerphone whereas, which means that you're not actually holding the phone to your ear, you're speaking on speakerphone. The statistics say that there is no difference in terms of the disruption of attention, whether it's speakerphone or whether it is holding the phone to your ear. So it's actually the your attention gets diverted by the call. It gets diverted by speaking to somebody else while you are driving. I had an incident myself where I was being driven. I was not driving. The driver was taking me from the airport to the office in one country. I won't name the country and so on because the people who will recognize. The phone rang. His phone rang, and his phone wasn't even his phone was in the ashtray. His phone rang, and his attention was momentarily diverted towards the phone. Obviously, because the phone rang, so he looked at the phone for a split second, and in that split second, he came into an intersection, it was only the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he managed to get out of the intersection fast enough, because otherwise we would have been hit by a Land Cruiser, which was easily at that point in time doing about 140 kilometers an hour. That man was, the driver was perfectly fine because he was on a highway, he was going through the intersection. His light was green, our light was red. We had no business being in that intersection. I saw the face of that driver of the Land Rover. He was standing on his brakes, his mouth was open, which means he was screaming, and there was smoke coming out from the tires which had locked. It speaks wonders for the braking system of the Land Cruiser that the vehicle didn't completely skid and go out of control. But when he passed us by, you know, literally the thickness of the coat of our paint. Our vehicle shook. We were in a Toyota Camry. The Camry shook with the wind of the passing of the Land Cruiser. I mean, that is how close we were to a very messy death. If we had been 1 second later, that Land Cruiser would have hit me square at going at 140, and you know what that means. Now, all that because the phone rang and the man's attention got diverted to the phone. There is a video I am going to ask Umair if he can find it to also send you with this, which is about the victims of people who were texting while driving. People who were, I have seen, may Allah forgive our people. I have seen people texting while driving. Obviously, I've seen people speaking on the phone while driving any number of times. I have seen one brilliant character who was driving me in Malaysia from Johor. We were coming back to KL, and he was updating his status on Facebook. While he was driving. I mean, it's completely insane. Of course, I got very upset and you know, I forced him to stop doing that. But I'm saying that this is what people do. So it is not only, I mean, if you want to commit suicide, it's haram, obviously. But, you know, if you want to do that, please feel free. But the point is that if you have no right to kill somebody else or to worse still, to, you know, permanently disable them or paralyze them because you were texting or you were doing something stupid like that, WhatsApping or something on your phone. Now, all of this happens because we have made these phones such an intricate and, insidious part of our lives. I think it's very, very serious. Worse still, and absolutely, this is the pits, which is that today parenting is done by the phone. Lazy mothers and fathers who don't want to take the time to do the tarbiyah of their children, they find it's easier just to shove a screen in the hands of the kid. So you have little 1 year olds and 2 year olds who walk around with iPads and with iPhones, and parents very proudly say, you know, my little one, he or she knows all the functions on this thing, and he can unlock this and lock that and do this and do that. Absolutely ridiculous, absolutely utterly stupid, where you are giving something dangerous to a child and you feel very proud that this child is able to use it. And the child obviously doesn't even understand what they are using. They don't know that the parents are in the process of destroying their attention span. They're in the process of destroying their, of getting them addicted, dopamine addiction at this age. And this is being done by the parents. I mean, wallahi, I tell you, one day you will answer to Allah for this. I mean, it is so shameful. But we have no consciousness of that. I mean, you know, we are quite happy doing it. Really, read those articles. I mean, I think I have sent out an article also some time back where people, who Steve Jobs and others, big tech company people, they say that they, in their home, there is a rule that until a child is 13 or 14 years old, they will not even touch a screen. Imagine, I mean, iPad was built by Steve Jobs and his company, Apple. But he says that in my house, no iPads until the children are 12 or 13. You think about that. Why does the man do that? Because he understands the danger of this thing. And so he says, no, let them first become mature enough to understand what they're using before they use it. And then even afterwards, he says that no screens at the dining table, no screens in the bedroom, screens only at specific times. Rest of the time, children must be out in the outside. They must be playing. They must be involved in sports or involved in actual physical contact and physical friendships with people, not friends on Facebook. And they should be reading. The most important, the biggest calamity that has befallen the human race is the complete collapse of reading. People just don't read. It's amazing. They don't read. They actually feel offended if you send them anything which is more than a page long. They feel, oh, it's too long. I mean, I how many times do I receive messages, very good, articles, and somebody has writes an apologetic note and says, oh, I'm sorry, this is long, but. What do you mean long? If something is worth reading, it's worth reading. I mean, what do you say about the Quran then? I mean, really seriously, we have to ask ourselves, this is because we have got the attention span of monkeys and of goldfish, which is 3 seconds. The average human millennial attention span is about 2.5 seconds. So the attention span is less than that of a goldfish, less than that of a monkey. And we have converted that into a matter of pride, into some kind of virtue, where I have a short attention span and I'm proud of that. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, absolutely pathetic and painful and shameful. I think it's very important to get out of this, or out of the addiction. As I told you, everyone is addicted. I am doing my best to get out of it, inshallah, alhamdulillah, and I am quite happy at the fact that it's not particularly painful. I thought it might be much more than it is. And I seriously advise you, get out of this. Take the screens out of your children's hands right now. Let them scream. They'll scream for a couple of days. After that, they'll be fine. And you are the cause why they are screaming in the first place. So go make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take out their screens. Take out your screens. No more screens. Only use it. It's a tool. Use it as a tool. It's not an addiction. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your bosom pal. It's a tool. Just use it as a tool. Use it like you use a screwdriver or you use a pair of pliers. When you need it, you use it. And that's the end of the story. You don't carry it around in your pocket. So do that. Use it only as that. The rest of the time, junk them out. Read books, do something useful with your mind, think and reflect and so on, especially now in Ramadan, which is the time when we should be doing that. Jazakallahu khairan for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.